Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and it's time for our monthly home improvement show. And Chad Spate is back with us. He's the owner of Chad's Design Build of Monona and Madison, works in the surrounding area, and has done doing so for, I think, around 30 years. So, and he's been a guest on this program for a long, long time as well. So great to have him back. And today we're going to zero in a little on kitchen remodeling. Maybe you need some help selecting upgrades for a kitchen remodel, or you may have other home improvement questions as well, and certainly you can join in with those questions too. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Chad Spate, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Always great to be here.
In your experience, I was thinking about the most popular room to renovate. I thought it's probably either the kitchen or the bathroom. Is the kitchen the most popular, or is it close to bathrooms?
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably a toss-up, because both of those rooms are really important for safety and functionality. And, you know, whether you're cooking a meal or whether you're taking a shower or a bath or whatever, I mean, these are rooms that we get a lot of pleasure and utility from. So, and they're also rooms that tend to get dated, when cabinets and fixtures start to wear out. It's something you can only ignore, but for so long.
Yeah. So. And that's probably the main reason for remodels. Or is it you just kind of get sick of looking at what you've got?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's so often we'll go into a home that is maybe 80 or 100 years old. And I'll tell you, I am still surprised at how often I walk into a home and realize this is pretty much the original, kitchen that we're looking at here. I mean, it's not that often now. It was more common 30 years ago, but it's still true that people will hold on as long as they can to those old cabinets. Of course, appliances are always needing to get updated, but
will you generally get a decent return on an investment like that in a kitchen?
Yeah, well, so, I always reference the cost versus value report, which the National Realtors Association puts out every year, along with Remodeling Magazine. And in their latest report, they show that a minor kitchen remodel, which really is just refreshing the countertops and maybe painting the cabinets, that something like that gives you about a 70 to 80% return on investment. But a complete renovation, it's lower. It used to be in the 50 to 60% range, because they're expensive rooms to renovate. But now the data shows that it's about a 35% return on investment. I think it might be good to mention that the average cost of a mid-range kitchen remodel right now in the Madison area, according to this data, is just over $80,000. And an upscale kitchen is coming in just below $160,000. So, we're talking about a lot of money. And anyone that's shopped appliances recently knows that, you can spend, you might get by spending $5,000 on all your appliances if you keep things incredibly frugal, but it's easy to spend $10,000, $20,000, maybe even $40,000 on your appliances, particularly if you're going to higher end fixtures. So,
yeah. Well, with all that in mind, what are some of the best features to add to a kitchen remodel?
Yeah. So, certainly one of the things that we always hear when we are working with our clients is the functionality of storage. A lot of older kitchens have lower cabinets that just have doors, and you have to, you know, you open that door and you get down on your hands and knees, and you're trying to find that pot at the back of the cabinet. And so what we're finding increasingly, we put large drawers into many of the lower cabinets now, so you can open that drawer and see everything that's there and more easily access it and also organize it better. Certainly just with all of the cabinets, the uppers and the lowers, being able to get into those spaces more easily. There's a lot of really functional hardware out there now that makes it easier to organize within the cabinet and then to pull those things out towards you to get into it and better access your spices or whatever you have stored. So
yeah, I was thinking about my own house, which is about, the remodel was probably 12, 13 years ago, and maybe 14, and for the pots and that sort of thing, we had a kind of a lazy Susan sort of thing. So you you can just turn it and whatever pot you need eventually turns
out. Right, sure. And of course, those have their own challenges sometimes. Yes. With things like falling off the edge and then getting jammed back behind it.
The handles get stuck and
Right.
So I kind of like that shelving idea for sure. You know,
right.
Christian's already been waiting quite a long time. Let's get him on. Christian
okay.
In Madison, thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Thanks for the show. I had some fixture frustration recently. I've been in apartment maintenance for a few years, lifelong DIYer with my parents and folks. And we've had, you know, American Standard faucets that we've replaced three times in a row. We've had Moens. We've had, and they just had another failure with, like, the internals on another fixture. I believe it was American Standard. I just want to know if there's any, like, more simple faucets out there, stuff that has more longevity, more functionality, because I'm just not finding it on the shelf anymore.
Yeah, so so one thing that I'll say is that fixtures that you would typically buy at a plumbing supply store 30, 40 years ago, a lot of people now are, you know, going to the big box stores, and a lot of times those fixtures look similar to the models that are in the catalogs or on websites, but there's some critical parts that are often swapped out that allow that fixture to be less expensive and ultimately not as long lasting. So that can be part of the issue. One thing you might do is consider shopping directly with some of the suppliers through either their online stores or possibly going to a place like Ferguson Supply or some of the other plumbing suppliers to obtain these things. So that might be part of it. The other thing is that, you know, there has been, I would say, a general decline in quality with some of these things. And so it's always, we're constantly, you know, trying to do our due diligence to steer our clients away from fixtures that are going to be harder to maintain, that are going to cause more problems. But it's just an industry-wide problem right now. And I feel your pain.
Do you have and maybe you don't even want to mention it, but do you have brands that you think are better than other brands or let's say brands that you commonly suggest to your clients?
Yeah, not so much these days. I mean, there are So Moen faucets have typically been a good faucet for us over the years. We don't do a lot with American Standard, and so that might be the issue right there. I'm not as familiar with American Standard, but I mean, they're certainly out there. Kohler is typically a pretty reliable brand. But that it's tough. I mean, each one of these companies, you know, has particular products that are really good and then others not so much. And so we certainly rely heavily on our plumbers to provide us ongoing feedback with respect to that, because, of course, they know very well what's working and what isn't.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that makes sense. Christian, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. In terms of features, what are some of the best features? If you're going to do a kitchen, let's go back to kitchens for a minute. If you're going to do a kitchen remodel, what are some of the best features to add to a kitchen remodel, and I suppose I can also add what are the ones to avoid?
Yeah, so one of the things that almost always gets included in a kitchen renovation of any particular scale, I mean, whether it's just a minor renovation or a complete gut and, you know, moving things around and improving functionality, better lighting is a feature that inevitably becomes a part of the project, because so many of us in older kitchens don't have good task lighting. When you're working in a kitchen, typically you are putting your work area in shade if you have just a single room light in the middle of the room. So, you know, the lighting is horrible in an older kitchen. So under cabinet lighting and other task lighting goes a long way to making it just much more, you know, pleasurable. Yeah. And, you know, you can see what you're doing. And so that's certainly a feature that we see a lot of. In the area of appliances, we continue to see a growing number of people switch over to induction ranges, which are, you know, basically it's using a rotating magnet to heat up the metal that it is the pan or the pot, and that is a very effective way to cook. It's very fast. It's very energy efficient. And I've put an induction cooktop into my own home here about 3 years ago. We love it. I mean, it does take a little getting used to, but that's definitely a feature that I always hear positive feedback. I mean, you know, we always talk about long-term functionality. You know, how do you live in your home and in your kitchen? How do you cook? Do you tend to socialize with people in your family or guests while you're cooking? These are the sorts of questions that guide whether or not we're going to try to open up that kitchen and connect it better to other parts of the home. You know, we're seeing a lot of bright colors getting integrated into kitchen renovations right now, particularly like on backsplashes and things like that. But, you know, we try not to focus too much on trends and design and focus on, you know, what is functional, what works well for you, how do you live in the home? And so that's the focus and that guides it. You know, and when you, and I guess the last thing I would say, because you asked about what do you avoid, you know, when you go towards picking trendier things, then, you know, 5 years from now, are you still going to love your kitchen? You know, if you focus on making it more functional and classic design elements, then you're going to have a kitchen that is going to, you know, age well and continue to provide value. So
makes good sense. Jane in Milwaukee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jane.
Oh, good morning. I had such a positive experience when I had my home built last year, starting with a site called build.com, and they connect you. They're connected with Ferguson's, which is, as you mentioned before, it's an in-person place. So, and Ferguson's was so willing to work with anything I found on build.com, and then I could see it there. They were really budget conscious too, because if that's not an issue, you can go anywhere. But I found this path a really positive and a great experience.
Oh, well, Jane, thanks a lot. Chad, are you familiar with build.com?
I am. We have an account with build.com. We certainly utilize that to help our clients find the best products for their project. So it's a great resource.
Yeah. And Jane, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Chad Spade, our guest, owner of Chad's Design Build in Madison. We've been talking quite a bit about kitchen remodeling, but we'll take other remodeling questions as well, and you can join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at home remodeling, home improvement today with our guest, Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build in Madison and Monona. Great to have Chad back. He comes by about every other month or so to talk with us about what's going on in the home improvement area. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Are people still putting in white kitchens, or is that a trend that's leaving or left us?
Yeah, great question, Larry. So white kitchens were very popular a few years ago. They're a little bit less so today, but I would say painted cabinets are still very popular. And we're just seeing, for those that want painted cabinets, a shift to more interesting colors than white. And I mean, I can say personally, I'm not a fan, but if that's what you want in your home, you know, we'll be happy to give it to you. But it's like, you know, a white kitchen to me just has such an institutional feel to it. I feel like I'm in a hospital or something. So it is not as popular right now.
Patty in Madison has a comment for us. Let's go there. Hi, Patty.
Hello. Glad I'm here in your show. I did a complete renovation down to the studs in a very small house on the east side, and kudos to the design and construction firm that guided me through that process. Although I had living in this house for the last 20, 30 years, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And they were able to, you know, help me in that regard. But what was most wonderful was I was able to use my original porcelain sink into a really nice new cabinetry and such like that. So I wanted to put a plug in for those materials that are in those old houses that can be given new life through, you know, care and through the design and construction firm. And I went to Ferguson for all my other stuff. Yeah. I mean, I have a really nifty little, faucet on my old sink. It's just wonderful.
Well, Patty, thanks.
Yeah, so Patty, did you happen to have your sink reglazed, or was it just reinstalled as it was?
It was pretty much reinstalled that as it was, because you know, I don't mind a little bit of a rough surface. I mean, I can get it white enough for me, and that's a lot of I needed, if I had flats on my floor, I would be happy so I wouldn't have any dirt. But I mean, that's, but I don't. I have beautiful wooden floors throughout. But what I'm just saying is, no, I didn't go that route. Nope.
Okay.
It was, you know, I kept it clean.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's great.
So again, there's personal preference that you were talking about earlier, Chad.
Absolutely. And we certainly are accustomed to salvaging parts of an existing room and reinstalling them or just reusing them in some manner in another part of the house sometimes. It's certainly, you know, what folks are looking to do, and we're always happy to reuse something right on site if possible.
I have in my kitchen, I have one of these stainless sinks, and it's a double. And I don't think I'd ever change it because my favorite pan that I use can't go through the dishwasher. It has to be hand washed. And it fits on the left side. I can put the whole pan in there with a handle and all, and it fits on the bottom, and I can, it just barely, but it fits.
Sure.
I don't think I'd ever change that.
It's not unusual for a client to say something to us like, I have this pan that I love and I need to make sure it's going to fit in the bottom of my sink. I mean, that is a common consideration for sure. So.
Oh, man. Patty, thanks again. Appreciate it. Ken in Delafield, we'll go to you next. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm thinking about turning my getting rid of a two-person Whirlpool tub in a master bath on the second floor and putting in a all-in-one washer dryer. I understand that they're very popular in Europe, and they're becoming more popular here. Just wondering what you think of that.
Combination washer-dryer.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I've read about these, you know, where basically the appliance will wash the clothes and then dry them. Like, you don't have to move the clothing from one to the other. And yet I don't have any personal experience with it. To my knowledge, we have not installed an all-in-one in any of our clients' homes yet. So I don't know that much about it, but it seems like a potentially great idea. I know that, you know, certainly it's not uncommon now to have a dryer that has some sort of a steam feature to it. So dryers now have to have water, you know, hooked up to them so that you can provide that steam functionality. And obviously, if you have an all-in-one appliance, then you're already going to have hot and cold water and, you know, ductwork to vent it when you're drying. So, you know, it's like anything else. The more complicated an appliance becomes, the more prone it may be to some sort of failure or need for service. But so many of these appliances nowadays are extremely complicated. They've all got computer chips in them. And so it's almost impossible to avoid that. So I'm certainly open-minded about it. I'll be curious if you end up installing it, I'll be curious to hear how it works out.
Yeah, we would, Ken, keep that in mind and give us a call back if you choose to go that way. I'd love to hear your reactions to it. And thank you very much for calling. Something I wasn't familiar with at all. But as he said, apparently it's more popular in Europe these days.
Right.
Kristen in Ripon, Wisconsin. We'll go to you now. Hi, Kristen.
Yeah, I'm actually up in Wausau, but that's okay.
Okay.
It's not too far different. I just wanted to call and say I appreciate this show. It's good to hear some ideas. I just helped my son. He bought a house on Grand Avenue in Wausau a year and a half ago, and he was hosting Christmas on December 16th, and so he had the idea he wanted new flooring in the kitchen and bathroom because the living room and bedrooms were done already. And so he ordered it the night before. On Friday night, we opened the packages and they had sent the wrong stuff. But we decided to bite the bullet and use what we got because the guy was coming to help us, his friend, the next day. So we floored the kitchen and the bathroom, tore out the vanity, put in a new floating vanity with a new countertop, a new faucet, painted in the bathroom. I painted all the cupboards. And I have to say, I was amazed that even though we both had full-time jobs during the day and we did this at night, we got it done by the following Saturday morning when people showed up.
Wow.
Good for you, Kristen.
Yeah,
you got more energy than I think I've got at this stage of my life. But I love your story. Thank you so much. Oh, boy. You can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. And, you know, Chris, I probably saved quite a bit of money by doing it that way, I would think, Chad.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, it's still quite common for many do-it-yourselfers to install many products in our homes. And, you know, most of us that are in the home renovation business started out as do-it-yourselfers. You know, I know I started working on my parents' home growing up, and that's where my passion for home renovation got started. So it's a fun thing to do. And obviously, you have to be careful. There's some risks involved in tearing certain things apart. And obviously, there are risks with some of the tools that are used in renovation. But many people can do a great job of fixing up their home. So that's great.
Carol emailed to ask, how durable is paint on kitchen cabinets? Old cabinets that are painted usually have chips in the finish. She has solid old custom-made cabinets that are 40 years old that are looking tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, as is always the case with painting, preparation is the key to having a durable, long-lasting finish. And so any sort of repainting or painting of existing cabinetry is going to require a thorough sanding and preparation of the surface, you know, often a proper priming of that surface prior to the application of paint. And then the paint itself that you use is going to have an impact on how durable that finish is. And some people are looking for a particular look. Of course, it's very popular still to either purchase or create cabinetry that looks distressed. You know, there are ways to essentially age the finish as you are applying it or through the process of refinishing the cabinets. And so, you know, one approach to not being disappointed by some occasional blemishes is to decide that you want to put in distressed cabinets, and then an occasional imperfection will just look like that's part of your intention, or that, you know, you have old cabinets that are worn, and if that's the look you want, then you can have it. But really, preparation is the key.
And in kitchen cabinet, is there a particular type of paint or that you would use, or...
Well, so the high-end finishes tend to be, and the most durable, tend to be a urethane-based finish, but that's very toxic, and it's often applied with a sprayer. You know, if you're not going that path, what is more common is to use potentially an oil-based finish, which again is more durable, and that is often what is recommended. But for both health and environmental reasons, there are a lot of great latex paints out there now, some of which if properly applied, can have very satisfactory results on a cabinet. So it really comes down to your particular the condition of what it is you're painting, and then you know, how hard you are on your cabinets, because you know, some people are very good at not damaging, marring, chipping, aging the cabinetry and other things in their home. And other people are really tough on their cabinets. And so that would weigh into my decision-making on advising a client what's the best way to go for that.
Arlene in New Berlin, we'll go to you next. Hi, Arlene.
Thank you for taking my call, Larry. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Chad, I have a small home. It's 1,100 square feet of living area, and I need to expand it. I have two bedrooms and an office, and like a galley kitchen. I did have my bathroom remodeled. Would it be better to have it expanded? I have the room in the backyard. Or would it be better just to sell the house and find a bigger home?
Great question, Arlene. Thanks for that. So a lot depends on how much you love the home and the location and, you know, the things that perhaps you have done to this home over the years that you have lived there, as to whether or not it's worth it to add an addition. I will say that typically an addition is probably going to cost at least twice what per square foot compared to what a new home being constructed on a per square foot basis. Because when you're adding an addition to an existing home, there's a lot of cost and effort that goes into properly connecting the new to the old. And so unlike when you're building a new home the first time, where everything is built for whatever it is you're going to create, you're having to connect often to older heating systems, older electrical systems. A lot of times there's some demolition that has to be done within the existing home to allow these things to be properly connected. And then there's just the inconvenience of you living in the home while this work is happening, all of that contributing to cost. So if you're looking at it purely from a cost perspective, you might consider looking around to see if there's a slightly bigger home that you would be happier in. But if you have reasons that you'd want to stay, you can certainly expand the size of your home, and it's going to cost some money, but you could end up being very happy with that as well. So I hope that's a good answer. Those are the sorts of things we discuss with our clients when they're thinking about something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about my own home, you know, the neighborhood I live in. I love the neighborhood, and I'm very close. I can walk to many places, and if I was going to move, I would want to stay in that neighborhood just for that reason.
Sure, yeah.
So lots of things to consider there, Arlene. Good luck with that. Appreciate your call. Dana in West Bend, it's your turn. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I wanted to actually bounce back to your cabinet discussion. So my husband and I had built a house over the pandemic, so we did a lot of DIY just from, you know, your local retailers and stuff like that. So we don't have older cabinetry. They're white. And so to your comment about like white cabinetry and having that kind of sterile look to them, I'm already looking to refresh that look. And so when you were talking about paint, I mean, is there any way to prep that a little bit differently than like your older wood stained cabinets when you're talking about like the prefabbed ones from like a Home Depot or a Menards?
So the white cabinets that you have, are they painted cabinets or do they have some sort of a kind of plasticized coating on them, like a melamine or something like a thermofoil, probably. Something like that?
Yeah, probably. If they feel not like just paint.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, the best advice you're going to get on something like this, I mean, what I would recommend generally if you're looking to do it yourself would be to take one of the doors off and take it into one of your trusted local paint suppliers and talk to the folks there about the best way to potentially prepare and then paint the surface, because when they'll be looking at whatever it is these cabinets are made out of, and they'll be able to give you better advice than I would give just speculating as to what that material is. But it's definitely true that if this is more of a like a melamine, a sort of surface that you may find that that surface does not hold up particularly well to being painted. And then you're looking at a situation where at some point you might consider replacing the faces on the cabinets, possibly the doors or the entire cabinet, as opposed to trying to retrofit them. I realize, though, that they're pretty much brand new, but those would be the sorts of questions that I would ask and some options to consider. Yeah. Is that helpful?
Dana, does that help?
That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate the call. And Mark in Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Well, recognizing that we're in the midst of a revolution in lighting, which is very welcome, consumers have a real problem replacing fluorescent lamps and ballasts, and they will have to because you won't be able to buy replacements, and even now, replacement bulbs are very expensive in some cases. So what I have found is a problem. You can't just take the lumen output, in other words, the brightness of the old fixture or lamp, and then buy LEDs which claim the same lumens. I'm wondering if the guest has any resources available that he knows about on the web, perhaps, that help give some guidance about how to replace the fluorescence. We're all going to be doing that over the coming years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thanks for the call, Mark. This is a big challenge, certainly. And, you know, one of the things that we find is that sometimes it just makes sense to replace the entire fixture, depending on what exactly you've got, to move to a different type of lighting technology. It is certainly true that fluorescent lighting, though I do think it's going to be around for a while, just like incandescent lighting, it is a technology which will be replaced in probably in our lifetimes here. Because there are just so many advantages to the newer LED lighting, which give you complete control over lumens and the warmth of the light, which is something that most of us are very finicky about. And so there are some retrofit bulbs out there that allow you to adopt some of these newer LED technologies within the existing fixtures, but that they don't exist for all fixtures. And so I don't know if the fluorescent lights that you're referring to are, say, under cabinet fluorescent lights or if they are a ceiling fixture. but at some point it might just end up being more cost effective to look at an outright replacement of the entire fixture.
If you have something that a bulb, an LED that says this is the same, provides the same wattage, it sounds like Mark is saying that it doesn't, in his experience. Mark, is that right?
Yeah, in some situations, like under cabinet lighting or soffit lighting, for instance, I have in my home about 15 4-foot T5s, which that's a small cylindrical bulb. And there are LED replacements, drop-in replacements, even with color adjustment, you know, which is great. However, the ballasts are failing as well. You cannot buy new ballasts. So,
yeah.
And right. I have found, even though the replacement bulbs claim about the same lumens, because the LED is directional, you get much brighter light. And in some cases, you may have more light than you want. Sometimes you can put in a dimmer, but that's not always the case. They don't work with the old ballasts, for instance. So it's a real problem. And you can buy a lamp and you take a guess at the color temperature, but you get it home and it's not acceptable. So it's...
It's an issue.
It's challenging. We help our clients deal with these things all the time, but it's very... it's complicated.
Yeah.
And like I say, sometimes if you're having a lot of trouble, then it makes sense to look at adopting an entirely new fixture that's not going to have these compatibility issues.
So. Yeah. Yep. There you go, Mark. Thank you so much for calling. Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at home remodeling today with our guest, Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build in Madison and Monona. Great to have Chad with us. Join in. Questions 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to Daryl in Menominee Falls next. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. You had a previous caller call in about she was redoing her cabinets. And your host suggested, I think, polyurethane for in preparation for working on the cabinets. And I found a very workable polyurethane at Home Depot called Verathane, and it's water soluble. So possibly that would be something that she could use to redo her cabinets.
Verathane. Thanks, Daryl. Comment, Chad?
There are some water-based urethanes out there now that are excellent. And like I say, I would recommend anyone who's looking to do this themselves, take a door into a local paint store, and that might be a paint department at a place like Home Depot. I tend to go to Sherwin-Williams here in the Madison area. They will be able to recommend different potential finishes. I'm not familiar with that particular product, but it is probably similar to some other things that we have used.
Mm-hmm.
So
All right.
Sounds great.
Thank you. Dan in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Dan.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. About 10 years ago, we did an extensive remodel in our kitchen and put in, of course, new cabinets with that remodel. And the cabinets, which are beadboard, the hinges are beginning to fail. Two of the cabinets, the hinges have failed. So the door, you can't close it. It opens back up on its own. And I'm actually used half an old clothespin as kind of a wedge or a shim to keep it in, but that's really annoying. And I don't know where to go to begin to replace those hinges. I'm not handy at all, so I need someone to do it for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Dan, certainly it sounds like you may need to hire a handyman or something like that. But if you were wanting to try to obtain some replacement hinges, one place that I find is a great retailer to go to, and I didn't catch where you
Milwaukee.
Are located. Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay. So you might have a Woodcraft in Milwaukee. We have one or two Woodcraft retailers in the Madison area. But there are also lumber yards, too, that have extensive selections of hinges. And cabinet hinges are very particular in, how they are designed and how the door itself needs to open. So you almost have to have the door and the existing hardware with you when you go in to shop for a potential replacement. So if you're interested in trying to acquire that hardware, I would recommend a Woodcraft or one of the better lumber yards in the Milwaukee area that might have a good selection of different things that would allow you to find that match. And then it would just be finding someone that would be able to install them for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Dan, good luck with that. Appreciate it very much. Andrew in Madison, your turn. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, gentlemen. So I was calling because one of the products I've used to cover my existing countertops has been a peel-and-stick product, and those are melamine countertops, and that might be a product that could be used on cabinet doors.
What do you think, Chad?
It's a possibility. I mean, certainly if you have a cabinet door that is just a flat slab that it doesn't have panels or anything like that, any variation in the face of it, that certainly might be a possibility. Of course, with something like that, again, preparation is the key. You want to make sure that the door has been properly cleaned and prepared so that when you adhere that melamine, the adhesive is going to work well long-term. But yeah, that's certainly a possibility. I'm not a big fan of melamine doors. I think I may have said that earlier, but it is, that might be a great fit.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Denise in Washburn, your turn. Hi, Denise.
Yes, hello. So I live in a one-room cabin. It's about 15 by 16. And I am looking and wondering if it would be okay for me to put in plank wood flooring. It is a cabin that sometimes there is not any heat. If I go away, I have no heat because I heat with wood. So I'm wondering how that wood would react with that. A good suggestion
right.
for flooring would be.
Sure. So, well, you are correct to kind of have some concerns about this. On the one hand, if you don't mind the fact that wood is going to expand and contract quite a lot with the changes in both temperature and the likely changes in humidity in the cabin, then that could work out just fine. I mean, again, if you're willing to accept the movement and kind of variable conditions that you will encounter with that product. I don't know if the wood that you're thinking about installing is a tongue and groove material.
Is it tongue and groove, Denise?
Yeah. And then also I would like to know about prepping the floor. I have linoleum right now, and beneath that is plywood. Can I put that wood floor over the linoleum?
You can probably go right over that linoleum, because if you were to remove it, I would strongly suggest that you have it tested for asbestos, because depending on how old it is and the condition of it, I mean, that's always a possibility. And yet it's a thin material. And if it's a relatively uniform surface, you can probably go right over that with a new floor. It's also true that you could look at using LVT or LVP luxury vinyl plank or luxury vinyl tile. This is kind of a snap together material. It's going to be more tolerant of changes in humidity and temperature. So that might be a better fit, but I'm a big fan of wood. And again, you just have to be cognizant of some of the challenges that it's going to present. And it sounds like you're thinking about that.
Yeah. So. Denise, yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Chad Spade, our guest today, owner of Chad's Design Build in Madison. Great to have him with us, and he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Chad Spade. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at home remodeling. Larry Mueller here and my guest Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build of Madison. Great to have him back with us. Questions? Give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Chad, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the photo that we received from Randy. His old sink needs a fixture. It was from salvage, maybe a school or industrial origin. He's done research and questioned lots of people in the business, but can't find one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And of course, the listeners won't be able to necessarily see it, but he sent a photo of a porcelain sink that has essentially a hole on the back side of the sink near the top, where the fixture would come out of that hole. And of course, most fixtures come out of a hole that is on the horizontal surface or the lip of a sink, that it comes up from below. This fixture is going to be coming in from the back of the sink. And so there are fixtures like that, but they're, you know, that's an older style. It's more similar to a modern wall mounted fixture. I'm not sure that he'll be able to find something, but I had recommended that he might, if he's in the Madison area, I would take that picture into Howe Brothers Plumbing on Williamson Street. They are spectacular at being able to, dig up some classic styled oddball sorts of products that might be available out there. So okay. That's what I would do.
Okay. What's the name of the company again on Willie Street?
It's called Howe Brothers, H-O-W-E.
Okay.
They're a plumbing supplier, and they're kind of a little specialty retailer that will help you find things that are a little bit out of the ordinary, as well as just the normal kind of maintenance things. If you need a particular aerator or a washer or something like that, they're really good. They're like the perfect little hardware store if you have an issue with a plumbing fixture. So,
Brad in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Brad.
Hi, I have a question about, a stovetop, and there's a sort of a fan and a filter above it and a hood. And I live in a condo complex, and I'm not sure that I could vent to the outside if I did that. And is there something that you think is good enough that, so the room doesn't fill with smoke and grease and stuff like that, like a good enough filtration system?
Yeah. So, typically the most challenging thing that we're trying to vent from a home would be the fumes from cooking. And so if you do not currently have a duct that leads from your hood vent to the outside of the building, I am not aware of any sort of a air filtration system that would be up to the task of dealing with grease and you know, fumes from cooking. So I'm not sure what to recommend there, but
yeah,
I do understand the challenge for sure.
Brad, I wish we could be more helpful. Just if there's any way to get that to the outside, that's probably your best bet from the sound of things. Thanks for calling. Mary in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Larry and Chad. Considering doing a kitchen remodel where I need to replace the Formica countertops around my sink. I'll replace the sink also, but it has a back, it's backed by art tile, ceramic tile that I have been told will get totally destroyed if we take out the counter that's underneath it. Is there any way to preserve the tiles, get them off the wall intact and reuse them when the new counter is put on underneath?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Mary. That is a fairly common concern or desire on the part of our clients if they have a backsplash that they really love and they want to preserve it. And the simple answer is that it is often challenging to salvage all of the backsplash successfully so that, you know, you end up with no broken tiles and then you're able to clean them up and reinstall them after the new countertop is installed. So it's challenging to do what you're hoping to do, but it might be possible. And a lot of it has to do with how well the original tile was adhered to the wall and the condition of all of that. If there's an area where the tile is starting to loosen a little bit, then that's often an advantage because you can remove that first and then remove other tiles from that starting point. But I hope that's helpful. Is it something you're looking to do yourself or just curious about whether or not it's even possible?
I would attempt it myself if a tile expert was unwilling to do it. I'm mm-hmm. just wondering if you could chisel the grout, the top grout, and work something in behind the tile that is sort of soft like wood, you know, a wood splint or something like that, that so you're not really pounding on it with metal or a hammer, but the wood would maybe pry it off the drywall because that's what's behind the tile is drywall.
Right, right. It's a bit, so, you know, we would typically use some sort of a, like a cold chisel or something, you know, that's going to allow you to pry behind those tiles. If you're fortunate enough to have a spot on the wall where the tile ends and it doesn't go into a corner or up against something, it just like has a bulldoze or something. And then so you could start to remove it, that area, and then remove them off the wall from there. That'll be your best bet. But you know, you may find that you're going to have a few broken tiles and you'll just have to, when you reinstall them, you know, it might not be worth the work. I mean, sometimes you go into a project like that with the understanding that if it doesn't work out, you'll just have to go and acquire some new tile.
Yeah.
But it's certainly potentially worth trying. You're going to put a lot of sweat equity into that, though. Just be prepared. So
good luck, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. Jeff and Barry Mills, will you go to you now? Hi, Jeff.
Yes, I guess this is a good follow-up question there to call to Mary's call. I used a product called from Daish Coating, D-I-A-S-C-H. It's kind of like a spread stone. It's a three- or four-step process on a Formica countertop, probably 4 or 5 years ago now. And it holds up really well, and they have numerous patterns and stone-looking surfaces, and it really looks good, even right up to the sink. You don't have to remove the sink. It sticks to the vertical surfaces like the backsplash and the nose and the nose on the front, and then it gets a clear coat, and it's really durable. You can set hot pans on it. And it's a fabulous product as far as I'm concerned. I used it in the corner where there was a miter. The miter wasn't smooth. I sanded the miter down, and then you can use a little bit of joint compound to smooth out surfaces or divots and just go right over the top of it. It's lasted, a long time, and it's really durable.
Yeah. That sounds like an interesting product.
Yeah. It
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, and what's the name of it again, Jeff?
I bought it online. It's D-A-I-S-C-H, Coatings.
Okay.
I think they were out of Florida, if I'm not mistaken, but because it's been a while now. But it's a really good product. And
well, I appreciate you talking about it. Thank you so much for calling. Jerry in Mequon will give you a chance. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Craig. Just a fast, this is going to throw you a little bit, but we're just interested in trying to build on a 10 by 10 addition on, it actually was originally a bedroom on our first floor, and we changed it into an office. Now, since we're probably going to be aging in place, we thought maybe we should make that back into a bedroom and, put a master bath in it and everything. Just roughly, what would something like that cost on a footing or a partial basement?
So basically adding an addition that includes a bathroom in it.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just going to use the numbers from the cost versus value report because I mean, there's so many details that will impact the cost of it, but according to their numbers, you're probably looking at something in the range of say $60,000 to $120,000, and that would comport with what I would expect in our experience doing something like that. Typically a bathroom remodel, if you've already got all the plumbing and the walls and everything are there, it's not unusual for a bathroom remodel to end up costing around $50,000 to $60,000. And so you're going to be adding this 10 by 10 foot space, and that unto itself will probably cost at least that much, the $50,000 to $60,000, if it were just a room. And then you're going to be putting the bathroom into it, and it'll be all new plumbing. So, but of course the devil's in the details, and there are, modular shower or tub shower units that you might install, which are far more, economical than what we're typically putting in, which might be a tiled, shower. Independent of a potential tub. There are just many variables, but hopefully that helps give you a sense of what it might cost.
Jerry, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Wondering, let's take this email from Tom. Is it a good idea to clean air ducts? Can you do it yourself? He has a lot of dust in the apartment. What's kind of the best way to get rid of it is his question.
Yeah, so air duct cleaning is an interesting thing. I mean, I like to just talk about the mechanics of how duct systems work. So in a typical heating system, forced air, the the heater is blowing air out. And so the supplies are likely to be fairly clean because they're coming from the furnace, going through an air filter. They're blowing the heat into the unit. So if there's dust in those, it's probably going to already be blowing into your home. And then when it gets sucked into the return vent, that's where the dust is going to get sucked in, but it's going to go through the filter before it gets redistributed in your house. So if you've had something happen at your home where a lot of dust has been created, or you just have an issue with dust, I would say that perhaps a more effective thing, other than obviously changing your filter regularly on the furnace, would be to put in some room air cleaners that are going to be filtering the air, capturing some of that dust, and allowing you to, you know, clean those filters and kind of manage it that way. There are companies that can clean ducts for you, but it's really the return ducts that are likely to be dirty. And that's not likely to end up back in your house based on the way a furnace is designed. So hopefully that's helpful.
Sandy in Madison emailed, she has a 1904 home, would like to get her washer and dryer out of the basement and upstairs. Where can she look for help with design and remodeling ideas? She is on a limited budget.
Where does she live?
Madison.
Oh. That's a good question. There are some programs in Madison, if she's got an extremely limited budget, where she might be able to help. I'd have to get that together off air, but we could get back to her with that.
All right, Sandy. And, of course, Chad is with Chad's Design Build in Madison, which you could find online. Vern called and interested in hearing your opinion on halogen lighting. He likes it much better than LED. The LED bothers his eyes.
Sure. Well, you know, halogen lighting is very crisp and it's warm. And I know a lot of people that feel just the way he does. And yet the other thing about halogen lighting is it's incredibly hot. It has a lot of heat that those bulbs give off. And so one of the things that we always talk to our clients about, particularly if you're using halogen for under cabinet lighting, is that if you have food stored in those cabinets above that light fixture, you need to be concerned about the amount of heat that you are, producing with those bulbs when they're illuminated. And the impact it might have on the food that's stored above it, or anything else for that matter, but food can be particularly heat sensitive. So
Aaron,
that would be my only concern.
Yeah. Aaron in Oshkosh has something for us. Let's go there. Aaron, hello.
Yeah, hello, everybody. Thanks for taking the call. Here's an ingenious solution I came up with years ago working construction. For the gentleman with the dusty house, as we know, HEPA filters are expensive. However, the 24-inch by 24-inch square HEPA filters at any home supply store are not. Those can be put on the back of any box fan and just tape the edge around it, and you have a disposable one-off HEPA filter for your house. When we've had those forest fires and everything with all the pollutants in the air, that type of particulate penetration can be really hard. So that is a cheap solution that will make your own HEPA filter in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Great idea.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate your call. There you go, a cheap HEPA filter. Richard emailed, they have an old sink like the one that we were talking about earlier, and they did find a replacement faucet at Home Depot for it. So a comment there.
Okay.
And Frank in Duluth, Minnesota, called to remind people who want to paint cabinets, make sure you degrease them before you do anything. Sounds like he's speaking from experience there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Mark in Rochester Hills, Michigan, called to say there's a Wisconsin company called General Finish. He talked to their help desk, and they told him he could mix their water-based stain with their water-based varnish and just use one coat. And they have a free course on how to paint your cabinets as well. So that was General Finish, Wisconsin company. And I don't know that company, but there you have it. One final question here. When it comes to electronics in the kitchen, there's got to be a lot of stuff out there on the newer electronics.
Yes, and of course, many of the appliances now are smart appliances. They're connected to the internet. And so, you know, when your dishwasher is done, it'll send you a text to let you know that your dishes are clean. Things like that. You know, these are all tools that if you're willing to allow your appliances to be talking to the internet, I know some people are a little concerned about that, understandably. But, you know, there are a lot of technologies out there now that make it easier to keep on top of what's happening in your home. So, and Larry, I know we're about to wrap up, but I just wanted to mention that at the end of the month here in 2 weeks, NARI and MABA have a combined expo in the Madison area that is called the Build Remodel Show. And that's going to be happening January 27th and 28th. And we will be at that out at the Marriott West in Middleton. And there'll also be some seminars given by many people, including myself. So I would invite the viewers in the area if they want to come check it out. It'll be a nice weekend.
And again, is there an online presence for that that people could go to just to get more information on the speakers and so forth?
Yes, there is. And I'm just going to say, if you Google Madison NARI Expo, the web address will pop up. I don't have it in front of me, so my apologies.
Chad, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Larry. Thank you.
Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, and by way of full disclosure, we should mention that Chad's Design Build is one of Wisconsin Public Radio's many business sponsors, and we certainly appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening in. Tomorrow, Friday already, Garden Talk time, and we'll talk about creating great organic vegetable gardens with special emphasis on small spaces. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store. I'm Larry Mueller.